And here in the living room, we find Mrs. Victor Gook and young Mr. Rush Gook. Sade is seated in the easy chair beneath the floor lamp, darning socks, while her son, lying shoelessly on the davenport, stares at the ceiling and thinks thoughts. These thoughts have crystallized into words now, apparently, for we hear the young man say,
"Ma, remember the other day me saying I thought I could reasonably expect to receive 20 presents this Christmas?"
Uh-uh.
I was telling Doug, but you happened to be in the room.
I guess I wasn't listening.
Well, that was the figure I arrived at after long study. I estimate I'll receive in the close neighborhood of 20 gifts.
Quite a few.
Yes, it is. 20 is a good round figure. Smelly Clark, though, is going to make me look like a plug nickel. He's going to get Christmas presents till who laid the junk. Boy, I wouldn't be one bit surprised if that guy received 120 Christmas presents.
Man?
He might even receive 220 Christmas presents.
I never knew Smelly was as popular as all that.
Well, it ain't that he's so popular. It's that he's smart. Mom, do you know how he spent last Saturday?
No.
Smelly Clark spent last Saturday sitting in the reading room of the Butler House Hotel writing letters.
Writing letters to who?
Everybody. See, in the reading room of the Butler House Hotel, a person can sit down at one of the little desks and help themselves to free stationery. Also, you get the free use of a fountain pen on a chain. Smelly went in the hotel at 9 o'clock in the morning and wrote letters till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He'd have stayed till 6 o'clock if the management hadn't kicked him out. He wrote 24 letters.
Well, who'd he write them to?
Friends, acquaintances, neighbors, cousins, second cousins, third cousins, uncles, aunts, great aunts, everybody.
Asking him to send him Christmas presents?
Never even mentioned Christmas. He wrote chatty little stuff. "By gosh, Aunt Helen, it's been so long since I dropped you a line, I thought I'd better take my pen in hand and write you the news. I'm feeling fine and doing well in school. I hope your health is good. I often speak affectionately of you to my friends." That kind of dope.
His idea was to get Christmas presents, wasn't it?
Oh, sure. He was planting the seed.
Kind of a grabby way to do business, seems to me.
Well, yes, perhaps so.
Very grabby way to do business.
Smelly's making kind of a game out of it, get the angle. He wrote 24 letters to people. If he bats 1,000%, he'll receive 24 presents as a result of them 24 letters. Maybe he'll only bat 500%. Maybe only 12 will come through. I think Smelly ought to reap a rich harvest. Look, suppose you had a nephew, age 14, living in Des Moines, Iowa. You haven't heard from this nephew in a long time. All of a sudden, you receive a nice chatty letter from him. Wouldn't you think to yourself, "Why, what a fine young gentleman my nephew is. I think I'll remember him at Christmas time." Wouldn't you think that?
No.
Sure you would.
I think, "Why, what a horrid, grasping little nephew I got. He writes me letters hoping he'll be able to squeeze Christmas presents out of me."
No, but Smelly's letters are smart. He didn't make the slightest reference to Christmas. He wrote chatty stuff. "By gum, Uncle Ed, how's that bum leg of yours? I often think of you and Aunt Mildred and wish we could see more of each other." Of course, a few of his letters was just pot shots in the dark. For instance, he wrote to a friend of a friend of a friend of his father's.
Oh!
Well, Smelly had nothing to lose except the 3-cent stamp for postage.
Well, what did he say in his letter to this friend of a friend of a friend of his father's?
Chatty dope. "I've heard different parties praise you and your good looks on many occasions, Mr. Swartz. It certainly would be charming to make your acquaintance. Next time you're in the city, please look me up."
Mr. Swartz is supposed to read the letter and then send him a Christmas present, huh?
Sure.
Ish.
Well, he might. He might think like this: "By golly, that Smelly Clark must be a clever lad. I'll just skip downtown and buy him a $2 necktie."
Oh, for mercy.
The Smelly's making a game out of it, get the angle?
Uh-huh.
Here's another stunt he's been pulling around town. Suppose I'm Mr. Alfred Johnson, and I got a fountain pen with my name on it. And Smelly knows I got a fountain pen with my name on it.
All right.
Smelly will come up to me, and he'll say, "Mr. Johnson, pardon the personal nature of the question, but do you happen to own a fountain pen with your name on it?" I say, "Why, yes, I do." Then Smelly says, "Drat the doggone luck. I just had the clerk down at Empson's jewelry store lay one aside for me." Catch on?
Smelly's just the same as telling you he bought you a fountain pen for Christmas?
Exactly. And then he goes on to say, just forget about this conversation, Mr. Johnson. I'll have Empson's jewelry store exchange the fountain pen for something else.
That's awful.
It's pretty raw, all right.
Well, let me catch you up to any such monkey shine.
Okay.
Pardon the personal nature of the question.
I'll demonstrate how Smelly'd work that scheme on you.
All right.
I'm Smelly Clark, and I happen to know you've got a bracelet with topazes in it.
All right.
Hello there, Mrs. Gook. How are you feeling today?
Just fine, thanks, Smelly. How's yourself?
In wonderful shape. Say, Miss Gook, pardon the personal nature of the question, but do you happen to own a bracelet with topazes in it?
Why, yes, I do.
Oh, drat the rotten luck.
What's the matter?
I had Hamilton's department store lay one aside for me.
Really?
Yeah. But that's okay. Now let me have something else instead. Just forget we had this conversation.
Oh, all right.
Goodbye, Miss Gook.
Goodbye, Smelly.
See how it works?
I know he's buying me something for Christmas, so it's my cue to go buy him something for Christmas.
Sure.
But I don't think that Smelly Clark's quite bright.
He's as bright as a silver dollar.
Ish.
You mean Mr. Harry Jones that used to own an automobile, but don't own it anymore?
I understand how that works.
This is a variation of it. Go ahead.
Who am I?
You're Mr. Harry Jones. You used to own an automobile, but you sold it some weeks back.
You're Smelly Clark, huh?
I'm Smelly Clark. And I know you sold your automobile.
All right.
Well, by gosh, if it ain't Harry Jones. How are you, Harry?
Just fine.
I'm feeling good myself. Say, Harry, pardon the personal nature of the question, but I haven't seen you riding around much in your car lately.
I sold my car.
You did?
Sold it some weeks back.
Well, if that ain't rotten luck for you.
What's the matter?
I ordered a special high-powered spotlight from Miller's Garage.
That's so?
Yeah. But they'll give me my money back. I can buy something else just as easy as not. Forget we had this conversation, Harry.
All right.
How do you like that variation?
It's terrible.
Oh, I don't know. Wait till Christmas morning when you see Smelly wallowing around in about 200 presents.
If that's the only way I could get Christmas presents, I'd let the whole thing slide.
Well, Smelly thinks of it as a game.
Some game.
And Smelly expects to receive at least 40 presents. Just on the strength of the compliments he's always giving people.
Is he giving people compliments these days?
Pours on the compliments like axle grease and peach butter. Remember last night when he went to the grocery store with me?
Hmm.
He gave Mr. Croucher the works.
Did he say, pardon the personal nature of the question, but do you happen to own a bracelet with no badges? What did he say?
He says, Mr. Croucher, did anybody ever tell you you look like Senator Ralph J. Fields from the 9th Congressional District?
Oh, what did Mr. Croucher say?
He says, get out of my way, sonny, so I can reach the bananas. Well, he gives everybody compliments these days. By George, Mr. Snell, I sure wish I had your brains. Holy smoke, Miss Jen Kisser, you're pretty as a watch charm. Doggone it, Mr. Chin Money, that suit fits you like the paper on the wall. Must have cost $20 if it cost a cent. At least 40 Christmas presents Smelly expects to realize from passing out compliments.
Oh, gosh, I'm sure your friend Smelly ain't any too bright.
Just you wait and see. If he gets 200 gifts, it'll show whether he's bright or not. Like he said to me last evening, Rush, he says, I know human nature. I know human nature like a book.
Your telephone's ringing. Telephone's ringing.
Might possibly be Bluetooth Johnson.
Oh, I'm sure. Hello? Hello there, lady. That so? Is it that cold? Golly. No, the Big Muckety Muck's at lodge meeting this evening. Yeah. It's a special one, I guess. Mm-hmm. What? Well, you're alone too, huh? Ha-ha. Ha-ha. Really? Where did you see her? Oh, ha-ha. Fleshy as ever? I bet she didn't mention me. I guess she won't ever get over that. And the funny part of it was, I never meant to hurt her feelings. I was innocent as could be.
Mom.
Sure. Sure.
Mom.
Just a second, lady. What?
Can I go over to Scott's a while?
All right. Bryce and I have been sitting here chatting since supper. Oh, mostly about his friend, Smelly Clark. You know Smelly wears the skull cap and the tennis shoes. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's the one. And don't stay late now, Willie.
Okay.
He's going next door to see Nurse Scott. Yeah. Well, say, lady, we can settle down and have a nice long chat. Sure. Well, tell me more about Miss Dover. She's leaner these days, huh? Really?